Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
What a wonderful anointing is here tonight. You know, I was thinking back, and I guess we really officially started coming around here somewhere between 8 and 9 years ago at ABC, and under the instructions of ABC, how our lives have improved. And, you know, Pastor Karen and I were told we'll tackle one challenge at a time. And that's what we've been doing, just one challenge at a time. We have victory here, victory there, and victories build upon each other, which is very encouraging, you know. So our next challenge we're going to do is our weight challenge, you know, which this stands because when we were in Guatemala, we were challenged with amoebas many times, which affect our metabolism, which has caused a whole multitude of issues, but we're going to take this on now. And I'm excited to do this. In fact, many years ago, I actually had a little health club in my basement. I used to train different people in my basement, and I like to lift weights. It's a lot of fun for me. And you know, my first name is James, and the short name is Jim. My last name is Mays. So I thought I'd open up a really nice health club and call it the Gymnasium. So as Karen and I were discussing, you know, types of work, I like to lift weights. That's what I like to do. And I'm not much of a runner. I know that Pastor Joshua and Pastor Sarah runners, some other people, they do a 5K every year, and that's wonderful, you know. And Karen goes, honey, I want to do some cardio. I go, are you speaking Spanish to me? And that has nothing to do with my message tonight, but it's kind of fun, you know. Tonight's message is God's favor is another blessing of the kingdom of God. And we can take all the blessings we can have. And one of the sports I do like to play with people is golf. And the reason why is because golf has a lot of different things you do. There's 14 clubs or so, and there's the different shots with each club that you do and so forth. And the Bible's kind of like that. There are different things in the Bible you pull out at each time to use at the right time. It's how you use it, how you apply it, that you get your victory. You know, there's times to take authority. There's times to pray for healing. There's times to pray for X. There's times to pray for Y. Today we're talking about favor. This is the club that is kind of stuck in the back, like we forget about. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But we'll start because, you know, God's favor is another blessing in the kingdom of God. Now, for those of you who've been through healing school or school dominion, this can be a refresher a little bit. But what is the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? The kingdom of heaven is a place where God, our Heavenly Father, lives. All believers will one day join our Heavenly Father in heaven. The kingdom of God is any state where God has dominion and authority. It is any place where God is in control. So the kingdom of God includes the kingdom of heaven, but doesn't include any person, angel, demon, who is exercising free will to be disobedient to God. And we see that all over the place, where people are disobedient to God. Once you're disobedient to God, you're outside of the kingdom of God. Okay? You need to stay inside the kingdom of God. Blessings come when you're inside the kingdom of God. Okay? So, Matthew 6:33, and be there. Why should you seek the kingdom of God? But seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, your Heavenly Father knows everything that you need, but He wants you to seek Him first. And then He gives you everything that you need. Two people out there trying to get everything they need, and then say, I'll go to church afterwards. Well, that's like saying, I'm going to get in shape and then go to the gym. That's not the way it works. Okay? All right? Number two, the kingdom of God is within you. Luke 17:21. For indeed the kingdom of God is within you. So we're righteousness and following the rules of God. The kingdom of God is within us. Letter C. You can establish the kingdom of God, His delegated authority, dominion, and power wherever you go. Okay, number one, Matthew 6:9-10. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you're calling God's will on earth as it is in heaven. That's what you're doing. You're establishing the kingdom of God with that prayer. It's one of the things we do. Okay. Number two. Now, for more detail about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, go to the Healing School, School of Dominion. They're online. If you don't have a way to get online, talk to Pastor Matthew. He'll work something out with you. Okay. This is too important not to keep reviewing over and over and over again. We went through both these schools multiple times because there's so much there you can't get at one time through. Okay. So, number D, you can operate in the kingdom of God, Ephesians 1:3, every spiritual blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, every is every, or an infinite number. There's no end to how many blessings God can bestow upon you. In fact, I like what it says in Malachi, where it says, He'll open the windows of heaven and pour out so many blessings you cannot hold. You know, so many blessings will be pouring upon us. But we have to do our part. We have to stay inside the kingdom of God. Okay? All right. Number two, we have been given the kingdom of God. Luke 12:32a. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. Please take God's gift and make Him happy. Okay? People out there saying, oh, I don't want it. Yes, you do. God wants to give it to you. Has anybody here ever given somebody a gift they didn't want, they didn't receive? And it's the perfect thing they needed for them? You know how frustrating that is for the giver? You know, I've searched all over town for this, and they didn't receive it. They didn't receive it. Well, I'm going to receive these gifts from God. He knows exactly what I need. If He's given me a gift, it's what I need. There's no doubt about it. I don't have to second guess that. Okay? So God is happy to do this. Let's make Him happy. Number three, Romans 14:7. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, when you're walking in righteousness, peace, and joy, and the kingdom of God is around you, not much can happen to you. Okay? When you're in righteousness, peace, and joy, God is there. He is with you. Okay? Go to number four, Mark 11:24. I love this verse. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Okay, we've studied this a lot here. It's true. But you got to believe it. You got to believe it. That's what people fall down. They hope for it. No, you got to believe it. How do you believe it? Ask God for to help you with that. But you got to believe that you'll receive everything you want. You got a healing, you got to believe you're going to receive it. Now, do you have to do some work for it? Sometimes. Sometimes you got to do some affirmations on it. Sometimes you got to do some physical therapy for it. Sometimes you got to do something. Prosperity, it's not going to just show up in your checking account most times. Now, I know there's miracles we hear about once in a while, but most times, prosperity is when God gives you something to do, and you do it, and you get rewarded. Okay? Usually you have to do something for it. But the bottom line is, believe that you'll receive it, and it'll be there. Okay? Number five, Matthew 18:18. You have the power to bind and loose. A. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Okay? Number six, 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Now, we are talking about real power here. We're talking about power that makes nuclear bombs insignificant. Nuclear bombs are a piece of paper to the Empire State Building as the power of God is. Okay? To the power of God, to the nuclear bomb. We're talking real power. This is power that we have to start manifesting in our lives for each and everything that we need. We have to believe in it. We have to stand on it. We have to stand on the Word. This is power. This is strength. This is where it comes from. Okay? Okay. Isaiah 10:27. Number seven, the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Okay, God's anointing destroys the yokes. Yoke is what Satan's trying to weigh you down with. God doesn't want you weighed down. He wants you going forward. He wants you doing what you need to do, doing it for Him. We're going to destroy those yokes, whatever the challenges are. Be the challenge physical, be the challenge financial, be the challenge whatever it is. God can destroy the yoke of those challenges for you and let you get going with your life. To bless His people, to bless His kingdom. Yes, you'll be rewarded in kind, but it's to bless Him, and we keep that in mind. That goes back to seeking Him first. If I bless God first with my business, I'll be blessed in my business, but it's to bless the people He brings to me first. Okay? Now, number eight, Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and earth. Number nine, 2 Corinthians 5:20. He's delegated His authority and power to us as His ambassadors. Now listen to me. We have the power of Jesus to use for any godly purpose. Keyword, godly purpose. We have that power. We're not using it. What's the first thing we're told to do in the Bible? Take dominion over this earth. Christians are not doing that. Pastor Fred just came back from Ghana. I can't wait to hear the stories. He went over to take dominion over a part of Africa. He went there. So he went there, did what he could do to defeat some enemy. Are you defeating the enemy in your life? Or are you just taking it, letting it come at you? No, we have to defeat that enemy. Okay? All right. Number 10, Luke 10, 19. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, wolves are not afraid of sheep. Wolves are afraid of the shepherd. Demons are not afraid of the average person. Demons are not afraid of the average Christian. Demons are afraid of Christ in you. And demons are afraid of your power in Christ. You need to start taking your authority and defeating those demons. They are going to run from you. They don't belong to you. They'll go pick on an easier target. They will. That's the way they are. Sorry for the other people. If they get picked on, maybe they'll turn to Christ. Maybe they'll get themselves saved. Maybe they'll turn something around. Bottom line is, you need to take your authority over these situations. Okay? Now, we have a competitive advantage. Okay? Now, I like sports a lot. I'm a big Muhammad Ali fan. When he was boxing, I wanted somebody to beat him to shut him up. But the more I look at what he did and how he did it, I have grown more to really respect him. He, without knowing it, used biblical principles. He spoke his victories out of his mouth. He constantly spoke, I'm going to beat this guy in number 7. The guy was kind of thinking number 7 is going to get beat. Okay? He spoke his victories out. But his unique advantage was his speed. He wasn't a great puncher, but you couldn't hit him. He could dodge anything. And by the time the guys were tired of chasing him around, then he could beat them. There was one time where he was in the corner where no boxer's supposed to be. I don't know who the other boxer was, too, because his back was to me when I was watching it, but he dodged 27 punches in the corner. Never got touched. Because of his quick, he used his competitive advantage. You need to use your competitive advantage. You don't go with your weakness, you go with your strengths. Okay? I grew up outside of St. Louis with the Cardinals. That's my team. Okay? Back in the day, they were known for their speed. They weren't a great power hitting, home run hitting team. They'd get the two guys on first and second, they'd do the double steals, they'd work their way around, and they won the most games in the 1980s because of their speed and what they did. They didn't try to outpower the other team. They used their skills. Okay? Back in the day, I had a tailor shop. My competitive edge was I had the highest quality around. One guy would save up his clothes and drive from Chicago down to my shop so we could take care of him. I was here to 3 governors, Senator Paul Simon, because our quality was that high. One guy had a hernia the size of a football. I designed pants around him. You couldn't tell it was there. The FBI and the IBI were my clients because I could hide their guns inside their jackets and put things in there so they didn't tear up the jackets and pull their guns out. That was my competitive advantage. And when word got out, I had a lot of business. Okay? I also had a Subway. I've had several Subways, but the one I'm talking about here is one. Most Subways are either strong in lunch or strong in dinner. I had a very unique location that was strong in both. I was right between where the offices of IBM and their components were, and a whole other residential section on the other side. Okay. I started negotiating on this location, which was the standard operating procedure we did. And one of the other owners went behind my back to Subway Corporate to try to steal that location from me. So I went to the person I was negotiating with, who happened to be a family friend. I told him what was going on. And the family friend said, "Don't worry, I won't rent to anybody but you." This was the most profitable store in Illinois that wasn't in Chicago. But because I had a competitive edge, I had done things right, and I knew the person there, I was able to keep and protect that store. So I used my competitive edge for that. Now, we also had some fun. I also had a very, very good crew. I had these three black guys who could sing. And if I remember correctly, we were making the sandwiches, and I was at the cash register down there, and this really beautiful girl came in. One of the guys was one impressor. He started singing, "My girl, my girl, nothing but my girl." And the other two guys picked right up on it, started singing, you know. Well, I like to dance. I don't sing much. So we just started singing, dancing our way. And word got out that we were entertainers. They'd drive past other Subways to mine because of the show we started putting on. And you can ask Pastora Karen how good it was. One guy got so good for the bread behind and catch it behind his back and things. We just had a really good routine. It was a lot of fun. But
people in line 3 blocks down, yeah, waiting for the show.
It was funny. I was at my desk the next hour. She looked at my printout and says, "Oh, yeah, 200 sandwiches?" "No, that's the people." We had almost 500 sandwiches made in an hour's time. So they were really good. So they could sing and do work at the same time. It was really cool. It was a lot of fun. But that was our competitive advantage. Okay? Your competitive advantage is God's favor. Wherever you go, God's favor goes before you. Whatever you do, God's favor is before you. God's favor is all over you. You walk in God's favor. You stand tall because you have God's favor on you. There's no reason to cower down. God's favor is upon you. You got a challenge in work, stand there with God's favor upon yourself. Okay? Number 11. God's divine favor is another blessing of the kingdom of God. A, it is important to realize that once you've established the kingdom of God, you're already operating God's divine favor as another blessing of the kingdom of God for you to use and affirm. Okay. What is favor? Definition of favor is act of kindness beyond that which is due. Be preferred in an unfair way. Approve more than others. In horse racing, they call it the favorite. Secretariat's the favorite. Okay? They have favor. They're the favorite of the people betting on the horse because they're the favorite to win. You are the favorite. You're the favorite to win in anything you do. Everything you do. To win. Victory. Because you have God's favor. God's favor is like having Superman on your football team. Okay? And put this in perspective. We're not talking about a little bit of help. We're talking about massive, insurmountable, Mount Everest type of help that you got with you because Christ is in you and you have that favor.
Hallelujah.
Use it.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't take Superman and put him on the bench, but too many Christians are doing that. You take him in the game. Let God's favor go before you. And you can never outuse your favor. You will always have more and more favor because our God is limitless. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to give you a few examples of favor that Pastora Karen and I had. I had an investment conference in Las Vegas one time. And my mother-in-law had a friend who did a lot of business in Vegas. And she got us comped with gold cards to the Paris. And it was wonderful. Everything was free except for Pastora's time in the spa. And the tips. You know? We drove up there, but if she would have known, she would have flown us up there on a jet, but that was okay. I liked having my car around in case I wanted to do anything. We had the most wonderful meals. We felt like a king and queen. And that's the way they treated us. We were in a great, great favor. And one day, the last day there, we decided to try this wonderful buffet they have. And we're in line, and the line is from here to the end of the block and back. It's huge, you know. And I reach in my pocket, and I pull out my card, and I'm just looking at it like this. Just, that's kind of interesting how they do this. And this guy walks by me in this $3,000 custom-made suit. He gets about 10 feet ahead of me, stops. And he comes back and says, "Oh, sir, you don't stand in any line." He starts to grab my arm. I said, "No, I don't mind. It's okay." He goes, "No, you're a gold member. You come with me right now." He took Pastor Karen and I up to the front of the line. The restaurant wasn't even opened yet. Let us in. He says, "Gold card." We walked in there, had to pick up everything. And there was nobody else even in the restaurant yet. That's God's favor.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Karen and I went on a honeymoon. We honeymooned in Montego Bay, Jamaica. Y'all man, love Jamaica, you know. Love Jamaican food, by the way.
Yeah.
Saltfish and ackee.
Yeah.
Jerk chicken.
Yeah.
We're going to Eskimo Beach fish a little bit, but that's okay. Oh, I love oxtail. Love oxtail. Curry goat. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we're in line at the first flight, and somehow it comes up that it's our honeymoon. And they put us in first class. I get used to this. We have a great time there. Wonderful time. It's time to leave. We went and visited another place called Jack Tar, which is a very famous one. It had to be owned by some people that her parents knew. And I think Pastor Joshua knew them. And they said, "Well, why don't you guys stay?" Well, our time is up. They changed our tickets for us. And we stayed another 3 days for free. It gets better. But both these are all inclusive. Oh, I like coffee. Jamaican Blue Mountain coffee is the best. And somehow I had favor with the waiters. They always brought me a full pot of coffee instead of the cup like they're supposed to. This is good. Okay. So we're flying back, and the plane leaves late, and we miss our connection, so we're stuck in Miami. Everybody else on that plane is looking for places in the airport floor to sleep overnight and catch the next flight out. And somehow Karen found a number and called somebody. They sent us a shuttle. They took us to dinner. We had a comp hotel stay. We had comp breakfast the next, so I had an extra night on the end. So I have 3 days in Jamaica. I had an extra night in Hawaii to celebrate a honeymoon, an extra night.
Miami.
Thank you, Miami. And then they put us on first class on the way home. That's God's favor. Okay.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
We're going to Huntsville, Alabama to do a healing ministry for a church there. So we leave LA, we fly to Chicago. From Chicago, we're supposed to fly into Huntsville. We get to Chicago, and it's one of those terrible tornado type storms are coming down. And they ground all planes. And we're trying to get on this last plane, and Karen hears the Holy Spirit say, "Go rent a car." So I went over and called the rental car company. The guy said, "I got one car left, but you have to be here to rent it." I says, "Listen, we need to get to a place because we're ministers and I've got to pray for some people." I says, "I will pay for the card over the phone." And he took the card number over the phone and reserved the car. So we get there, and he says, "I'm sorry, I don't have any more cars in your size. I have to give you a Lincoln at no extra charge." Now, GPSs are common in this day, but they weren't back then. It had a GPS. So I knew Illinois well, but I didn't know how to get to Huntsville without a bunch. So that GPS took us right there, and as we pulled out, you can see the storm coming in behind us. But that's God's favor.
Yeah.
Okay. Two more real quick examples, and we'll go on. The small things work too. I had to get to the bank. I had to make a deposit so a check would clear. And I had to get there. And I was ministering to somebody and it ran late. I said, "Okay, God, I'll put my trust in you." I get in my car. I'm not speeding. I'm going to the bank. I've got everything ready to go. And I get there and it's 10 minutes after closing time. I didn't pound the door. I just walked up and I started reading the sign when the hours were. And the manager walked out and saw me. And she flagged her other teller, who was still counting, to stop. She opened the door, lets me in so I can make the deposit. So that everything cleared fine without any hassles at all. Now back in my hometown in Springfield, when I was having my business challenges that most of you know about, the IRS says, I need $30,000, I need it tomorrow, or I'm going to close you down. I called up my friend John, who I knew at the bank. I said, John, I don't qualify for this loan in any way, shape, or form. But I need $30,000, I need it tomorrow. He said, okay, I'll put it in your checking account, come in next week and sign the papers. And from that, we turned the rest of the restaurant around. And if you know the story, it went from minus $500 to plus $250,000 in about a 10-month period of time. Amen? That's God's favor. I'm doing this to encourage you, not to brag. It wasn't me that did this. It was God's favor that did this. We all have that favor.
Amen?
Amen. Okay. Now, let's go down to B. Proverbs 3, 1 through 18. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace will add to you. Not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor. Now in the Strong's Concordance, these H numbers, these are all from the Strong's Concordance. H2603 is the word they use there. Pleasant to God and graciousness is what that means. So you find favor, pleasant to God and graciousness, and high esteem in the sight of God and man. You want to be esteemed in God? You want to be high esteemed in God's sight? Walk in favor. He wants you to. Okay? Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And always acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength from your bones. Now fear the Lord and depart from evil. Respect the Lord. Leave the evil behind. When the devil tries to attack you, leave it. Push it away. Okay. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. Now, many Christians have a problem with that. When you're being corrected by God, receive it. He's a good father. He's not hurting you. He will challenge you. He will push you in ways you don't want to go, because most Christians want to be complacent. But when you're corrected by God, receive it and do it. Do you think Joseph would have become the prime minister of Egypt if he hadn't stood corrected by God? Do you think he didn't want to escape? Now, he was a pretty smart guy. He could have escaped, but he didn't. He stayed in Egypt until God brought him out. He stood corrected. He stood humbled. He stood forgiving his brothers. Now, we don't know all the details of how that happened, but somewhere in that time, God was working the whole time he was in that prison to set him up for what he is about to come. Don't cut your own victory short because you're too much of a hurry to do something. If God is working on you, allow Him to do it. He will take care of everything in the meantime. Okay? All right. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just like a father, the son in whom He delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than profits of silver and her gain better than fine gold. We were talking about that today at work. I knew a gentleman who back in the 80s, in Springfield, Illinois, inherited $11 million. Okay? Now, back then, you could put a CD in the bank for 15%. So he could have made $1,600,000-$1,700,000 just in interest alone. Just by putting in a CD in the bank. Okay? He was broke in 4 years. Because he didn't have wisdom. He had the highlight for a little bit. There's a lot of the demons out there that got him to do things he probably shouldn't have been doing. You know, flying to Monaco, looking good. But the money will go, but the wisdom will stay with you always. And with wisdom, you can always re-get more money. Amen? Okay. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire compare with her. Length of days in her right hand and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are always the pleasantness, and her paths are peace. Now, all the money in the world without peace is no good at all. So you need everything together as God wants you to have it, okay? She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Happy are those who retain her. So take your favor, get your wisdom, and hold on to it. Let's go to letter C, please. Proverbs 8:35. Whoever finds me wisdom finds life and obtains favor. This is H7521. Shown or demonstrated delight or pleasure from the Lord. So when God shows his pleasure with you, that's a good thing. And other people see it on your life. And it'll come through. Okay? So find wisdom, let God give you favor because you're finding godly wisdom. Okay, D. Exodus 12:35-36. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses. They had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor. Here it is, H2603. Pleasant and graciousness in the sight of the Egyptians. So they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. They took everything the Egyptians had. They plundered them. After all those years of slavery, they felt they were owed everything and they took it all. God allowed them to have it. E. Esther 5:2-8. This is one of my wife's favorite books. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther, she found favor, H2603, and the Strong's Concordance again, was found to be pleasant and precious in his sight. Instead of a death sentence. That was her choice. When she went there, it was either find favor or be killed. So she had to go knowing that God was going to protect her. Okay. And the king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request?" "It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom." She replied, "If I have found favor," again the same one, "pleasant and precious in the sight of the king, grant my petition to fulfill my request." Okay? And because she had favor, all the Jews were saved. But she had that favor in the king's eyes. Now, I picture this woman walking in there in the boldness and stature of a queen. She didn't walk in there coward like, "Oh, I hope that he's not going to kill me." She had to walk in there with confidence that the favor of God was upon her. That she had to believe in all of her heart that this was going to work out okay for all of her, but all of the Jews. I want you to start walking with the boldness of favor in your heart. Okay? F. Psalm 44:3. For they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them, but it was in your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you, God, favored. This is Strong's Concordance 8:7-5:2-1. Are pleased with them. So if God is pleased with you, you don't have to do a lot of fighting. Okay? He will set it up. He will take care of it for you. Because you have his favor. Okay? Karen and Amy, would you pass out the rest of those papers, please? Luke 2:52. Letter G. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor. Again, gracious as a gift with God and men. But think about this. Even Jesus had to find favor with God. Okay? Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor. He increased. Why? Because he did everything the Lord told him to do. He didn't do anything God didn't tell him to do. So we need to get ourselves tuned up to God. Okay? Great. Now, what you've been given here is a confession of favor prayer. I'd received this from Pastor Bill Winston, who's a friend of mine. And Pastor Johnson was kind enough to let me put it out here, and he's approved it. Before you go into a challenging situation, read this prayer aloud. You'll be amazed at the difference when God's favor is upon you. But what you're doing is you are speaking it out into being. You're speaking God's favor over your life, over that situation. Using all the teachings of ABC that they presented so far, you're combining it with this, and you're going to speak it out. You're going to walk in confidence and boldness and victory in Jesus' name. Okay? So let's read this together. In the name of Jesus, I am the righteousness of God. Therefore, I am entitled to covenant kindness and covenant favor. The favor of God is among the righteous. The favor of God surrounds the righteous. Therefore, it surrounds me everywhere I go, in everything I do, and I expect the favor of God to be in manifestation. Never again will I be without the favor of God. It rests richly upon me, it profusely abounds in me, and I am part of the generation that is experiencing it immeasurably, limitless, and surpassing. Therefore, favor produces supernatural increase, promotion, restoration, honor, increased assets, greater victories, recognition, prominence, preferential treatment, petitions granted, policies and rules changed, and battles won in which I do not have to fight. Favor is on me and goes before me. Therefore, my life will never be the same. This is the year of God's favor in my life. That is the favor of God in Jesus' name. Amen. And of course, your scripture references are down at the bottom. We'll pull that together. Now, when you look at this prayer, you're the righteousness of God. You have covenant kindness and favor. God is among the righteous. That is you. The favor of God surrounds you. Therefore, it surrounds you everywhere you go in everything you do. And expect the favor of God to be a manifestation. This is not a hope prayer. I expect it. I expect victories. I expect this winning to come and continue. I expect to never be defeated again because I have the favor of God. Okay? Never give up without the favor of God. It rests richly upon me and profusely abounds in me. And I am part of the generation that is experiencing immeasurably, limitless, and surpassing. I like that. Immeasurably, limitless, and surpassing. There's no limit to God's favor in your life. Okay? Supernatural increase, promotion, restoration, honor, increased assets, greater victories, recognition, prominence, preference, treatment, petition granted, policies and rules changed. I have seen that when I've been dealing with the government. Well, we prayed this prayer and they've changed their policies and rules to allow something to happen. Okay? Battles won in which I do not have to fight. I want victory just when I walk in there because God's already set it up for me. Favor is on me, goes before me. It goes before you. It's there before you get there. You got a meeting coming up, pray favor before you get there. Set it up in that room before you get there. This is a year of God's favor in my life. I want this year to be God's favor for everybody. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
So I'm going to pray for you all now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise, I worship, I glorify your holy name. I bless everybody here tonight to receive the favor that's on the internet too. Receive the favor of God deep in their heart, and they walk boldly in confidence with it as they stay in the kingdom of God with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.